Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hey everyone, I just want to wish everyone here a happy new year. Now, I know I said this on the mission briefing feed, and therefore also Myopia's feed, but I know some people don't listen to the Bond episode, so I wanted to wish everyone here a happy new year, and say that I hope 2017 is a good year for you and yours, and of course, I hope it's our best year ever. Please rate and review. I haven't asked you that a lot lately, but I hope you guys have been sharing the good word of Myopia. We have a lot of exciting stuff this year, and hopefully even more to come, because I think this year could be a massive year for us. So thank you, and enjoy this new episode. This week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood, we learned why Elizabeth Hurley stopped acting. We watched Bedazzled. ¿Dónde está esa biblioteca? Yeah, my Spanish is that awesome. Technically, it's my second language in my PhD program. Hooray!
Elliot Richards needs a life.
You're the man, Elliot.
It's all about first impression. Go over there, say hello.
But most of all, he wants Allison.
Hi.
Hi. Do I know you?
Oh, I sure hope so. We've only been working together for the last 4 years.
I don't think I've ever seen you before.
You know, I'm here with some friends, and I was wondering if maybe you wanted to...
Elliot has never had any of his dreams come true.
I would give anything to have that girl in my life.
Until now.
Hello. You're very glib. I bet you're a whiz with the ladies.
Well.
Let's go someplace quiet so we can talk.
Okay.
What if I told you that I have the power to give you anything and everything you've always dreamed of?
Who are you?
Promise not to tell anyone? I'm the devil.
Yeah, right.
I am the devil. Satan, Lucifer, the Prince of Darkness. Well... Princess of Darkness, anyway.
Why don't we take a look at the contract?
I, the devil, with offices in Purgatory Hell in Los Angeles, will give you 7 wishes for 1 piddling little soul.
Is this real?
It could be. Sign it, Elliot.
Okay, I wish that I were married to Allison, and that I were very, very rich and very powerful.
You got it.
Muy buenos días, señor. ¿Le apetece algo de comer?
Como dices, no hablo español.
Un momento.
Realmente estoy hablando español.
Hola. Mucho gusto.
No, gracias. Soy alérgico a los crustáceos.
Elliot may have 7 wishes.
You turned me into a drug dealer.
What's the big deal?
You asked for rich and powerful.
But she's not going to give him...
Back so soon?
...a chance in hell. Bedazzled.
Nobody gets it totally right away. That's why you get 7 wishes. Besides, do I look like somebody who'd try to trick you?
We have slain many dragons. We are Polyhedron Society. We have braved the depths of Gallowspire. We are the Polyhedron Society. We have maintained the masquerade. We are the Polyhedron Society. We shot first. We are the Polyhedron Society. And we aim to misbehave because we are the Polyhedron Society. The Polyhedron Society proudly presents its actual play RPG podcast. Tune in each week as we immerse you in one of many stories through the art of collective storytelling and role-playing games. Polyhedron Society has decades of gaming experience, and we use that experience to create rich characters and lavish stories.
Welcome to my movie Defend Your Childhood. This week, we watched 2000's Bedazzled, the second thing to associate Sister Hazel with Satan. I'm Nick Hoffman, editor-in-chief of Dude... Oh, that was the last song. Don't look at me. I'm Nick Hoffman, editor-in-chief of Dude Letter, and our defender tonight is...
Abby Normal.
And our panel is...
Hello, this is Daniel, and I traded my soul for Nickelback tickets.
And...
I'm Madison, and I'm really disturbed by what Daniel just said.
Well, the thing is,
It was a good deal.
Well, I sold my soul from Nickelback to cancel their show, and so in the end, they just balanced out. We both have our souls, and Daniel's disappointed.
I wanted to party like a rock star.
I wanted to party like a Canadian, so I didn't have a party, and I went home and had a nap.
I have an idea.
Go ahead.
I think that at some point during today's podcast, we should talk about what we would... What if you had one wish... What would you give your soul away for?
Other than just Satan to literally be Elizabeth Hurley?
Other than that. That's assumed at all times.
Girl. That last red dress before she turned into the ferocious devil.
I mean,
oh my,
that
no,
one?
She was in an angel costume before she did that.
Okay, so before that dress.
You mean like the slip dress she was wearing
the
in the beginning?
That was just strips?
I was a fan of the schoolgirl / teacher outfit.
I will defend the hell out of that part of my adolescence.
I mean, I went to a Catholic high school, so the plaid skirt already has like a mental trigger in the back of my head.
Ladies.
Before we, I mean, if anyone listened to this is mildly aroused by my nasally voice.
Jeremy's outside.
Can we pause? Heil Jeremy, I guess. I will, and then I'm going to cut to Abby to give your...
Defense?
Yeah. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Text me the times. 1, 2, 3. So, Abby, before we get too far into this, can you give me, did this hold up? You know, that kind of thing.
I thought the green screen didn't hold up. Very well. It was okay. It was definitely not the worst we've seen on this podcast. But I still enjoyed all of the same jokes that I enjoyed back in the day. It was a little more sexual than I remembered,
which
Madison kept pointing out.
Because Brendan Fraser is a sex pot.
He is. He exudes sexual ooziness for me.
Especially with that white guy fro he had.
After the Mummy and my obvious penchant for nerds, I was like, yeah, Brendan Fraser in Bedazzled.
You know what? We'll get to it, but him and the Mummy, though, I mean.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
I'm not kidding. He was hot in the Mummy.
No, he was good.
But I have to say, I don't know what this says about me. As a person, but when I watched it this time around, when I was a kid, I was like, wow, Brendan Fraser's really cute. This time around, I'm like, Elizabeth Hurley's really hot.
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
Can't deny it.
Neither of them have, aged at all. Elizabeth Hurley is smoking hot.
I disagree. Have you seen Brendan Fraser lately? He looks like...
No, what's he doing now? Brendan, where are you? We're worried.
He looks like he didn't quite understand what exactly was meant when they asked him if he wanted to eat Elizabeth Hurley.
Now, since Brendan Fraser is listening to this episode, that was Daniel. You know, I can send you Madison's number. I mean, girl.
Crash also sucked. I'm blaming you, Brendan Fraser.
Wait, which Crash was he in?
The 2005 one. He was in that.
Not the
David Cronenberg.
Okay,
one,
thank
the
you.
One that won Best Picture and sucked.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are we talking about the same Crash that had Sandra Bullock in it?
Yes.
Yeah, that was no good.
I really liked that movie.
I need to rewatch it. I saw it once when I was sad, and then it made me sadder. Hey, red wine. Now, I'm giving Daniel a caveat. He's going to give us our plot summary because he's Daniel, and if I don't, he'll break a bottle over my head, and it's there.
It's happened before.
But here's the thing. Daniel did extra research. A lot of it. He watched the original Dudley Moore and Dudley Do-Right and Chris Walken. What was it?
Cook.
I watched that so long ago.
Well, and so what I want to do, actually, is let Matt...
hipster out Daniel?
I did. I have done this research as well.
Fist bump, Abby. Fist bump.
No fist bumps.
Aw.
So what I'm going to actually do is let Madison give us the plot synopsis and then let you do the differences. Let you do the critique. Just because I want to make sure we get a clean synopsis of this one, and then we can talk about the both.
Okay. Yeah.
Madison, give us the plot summary.
Okay, great. So there's just a nerdy guy. He doesn't fit in at all at work. He doesn't have anybody to go home to. He's just a really lonely, sad man. And he's just trying so desperately to fit in with literally anybody. And he's just pining for this woman that he spoke with 3 years ago, the first week of June, and was just enamored by her. And utters the words, you know, I would give anything to have her in my life.
But I won't do that.
And suddenly, nice. A cue ball lands at his feet, and lo and behold, it is Elizabeth Hurley that is playing pool. She then shoots an incredible shot and gets the entire table in. And then she decides to disclose the fact that she's the devil and offers him, in return for his soul, 7 wishes. That can't go wrong at all. So then hilarity ensues.
Yeah. I mean, and other than that, it's essentially your standard farce. Mm-hmm. It's literally a farce. I know we have to get through this, and I know Daniel wants to point out the differences, but we should talk about a few key things before we get to differences. Our nerd type, obviously in the originals, played by Dudley Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And Dudley Moore is... Oh, God. He is so cliche. Brendan Fraser here, though. What do you guys think of Brendan Fraser as the pawn, as the everyman?
It was a caricature of... It was such an exaggeration of that kind of character. I don't know anybody who is that painfully awkward.
I've had a few in my day.
Yeah, I do.
Well, I mean, we have Jeremy right here, and he's still not even that painfully awkward.
Aww. And one of them's on panel, Abby.
I bake you guys cakes so you won't mention these things.
Abby's not awkward with me. She's just awkward with you guys. She doesn't love you.
This is true. I acknowledge this.
Well, I was going to say, the thing is, this movie came out in 2000. If you had told me it came out in 1989, I would have said, oh, they're doing a Revenge of the Nerds parody or something. Like, because this is a nerd that has never existed ever. This guy is like, he's the guy who goes up, working hard or hardly working.
Every single day of the week.
And
just
everyone,
another day in paradise.
I mean, because, and the thing is, we get it. People are assholes. That's why I'm not doing this live. It's because people, A, don't want to listen to it, but B, this way I can be with people who pretend to like me because they like that I have alcohol.
Yay.
But in
you're on to us.
But I mean, like, the thing is, like, Brendan Fraser goes, just shows up at the bar, literally, it must be next door to the business, and everyone's there, and they pull up menus, like,
he's in their faces.
And they, like, pull up their jackets, and which, obviously, anybody with any, like, a common sense would be like, clearly those people don't want me to see them. But he's like, you guys, I thought you all had plans. I'm going to go ahead and sit down with you.
The worst part of that was after he sat down, the guy looks at Orlando Jones like, can I switch spouses with you? And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Well, and switch
spouses?
Switch spots.
I mean, ladies. But the other thing is that when he gets shot down, all they want to do is make fun of him, which is even worse because, I mean, we've all been shot down at a bar before, but then, like, then usually the people are like...
I call that Tuesday.
Right. But the thing is, then your friends either avoid conversation about it or they... That sucks. You want a beer? They laugh at him. These are A, the worst people on the planet. B, he's awkward in a way that can't exist.
Well, that was the reason I hated him.
One, two, three.
It was very hard for me to feel sympathetic for Brendan Fraser in the first act. I loved his arc and how much he changed from the first to the third act. That was actually really well done, but I almost felt like we need a Ben Stiller sort of figure in order to draw us in because he does lovably awkward wonderfully, like in Meet the Parents. I'm just kind of missing that.
I don't think he was supposed to be lovably awkward. He was supposed to be so awkward that you're like, something has to change.
But well, it's hard to relate with him then. It's like, just go away. Well,
I had like a physical reaction. It was just like, I can't do it. And the listeners can't see me, but I'm like, curling inside myself. Like, I just want to implode when I see people like
you
that.
You also need to set up a schmuck that's so out of it that he totally gets swindled by Elizabeth Hurley, devil, because she's talking to him with those boobs.
Well, anybody would be swindled by Elizabeth Hurley talking to them with those boobs.
I would, who cheated on her with a transsexual man in Las Vegas?
Yes.
So clearly
Elizabeth Hurley has some kind of issue going on.
Maybe she literally is the DeVille.
It couldn't be Hugh Grant or anything.
I mean, well, he was arrested after doing, like...
I tried so hard to be faithful to you, but...
I'm so adorably... Oh, bother.
Oh, bother. This is quite a pickle.
But your bosoms are so... your bosoms.
This isn't Bridget Jones's house.
Stay tuned, I guess. I'm not even going to get into that now. I think, you know, frankly, we were talking about the mystery of Brendan Fraser, but you wouldn't talk about someone who's disappeared completely, Elizabeth Hurley.
And she looks the same as she did.
2000 is right at the end of what she was doing, because Austin Powers must have kicked off her career, and you said that was 97, right? Mm-hmm. So she had a 4 or 5 year stint in movies, and then, like the Four Winds, she scattered.
Well, I remember seeing trailers back in the day for this movie. It was called, Saving Sarah or Serving Sarah or something that she was in, and it apparently just bombed spectacularly, and that killed her career. Does anybody else remember that?
I can't.
Oh, yeah. That
was Bruce Campbell.
So Jeremy remembers that.
Somebody in the audience remembers that, and yeah, that's right. I think that was Matthew Perry in that movie.
Someone else who needs to stop whatever he's addicted to. Maybe Cheetos.
There was that scene with them in baggage claim where her jeans get torn off.
I saw that on a terrible date. I remember that movie now.
Okay, I'm not crazy then.
No, I remember. At some point, they're on a farm and they have to help give birth to a cow because they
I remember the trailer.
Yeah, they act like they're a veterinarian or something. Oh my god, that was a terrible movie.
It's a remake of Witness with Harrison Ford.
Where the guy chokes on corn.
One, two, three. Are you texting me these times?
Yes.
Because this is getting weird.
All right, I'm compiling a text, so it's all in one text. Oh. So your phone doesn't go off while we're recording.
What a good producer.
She's got this down.
Is that on record? Good producer, wow.
Yeah, I recorded
Best
that.
Producer
That's
ever.
Why she's doing much wow.
That's why she gets production credits. Ready?
Yeah.
Scout. How long have we been recording? Two.
12 minutes and 38 seconds.
Jesus Christ!
Cutting out a minute of it.
1, 2, 3. Okay, so this is a time where we need to transition a little bit, because we should talk about the wishes he makes, and then this is where Daniel should come in and talk about the difference when we get to that point. But the handful of wishes he makes, like Madison said in her kind of synopses, he gets 7 wishes. And the first one is bullshit.
Big Mac and a Coke.
But he has to pay for it. So it doesn't count as a wish in my mind.
They don't even teleport. They take the bus.
No, and he doesn't even get fries. Mm-hmm. Who goes to McDonald's doesn't get fries? That's the only good thing about McDonald's.
No, they're the best fries ever. As my psychiatrist says, I need to stop. It's an addiction. There's an 11 and a half step program. It's not as hard as alcohol.
We've been meaning to tell you about your addiction with fries. This is actually an intervention.
You look like Brendan Fraser does today with this fry addiction that you have.
My father is Belgian, and for Belgians, fries is a thing. They sell them on the street. It's street food, and they roll up newspaper and everything, and you can get them with, mayo, which is traditional.
Yes.
Or American sauce, which is ketchup. And so you have to double fry them. And so we bought a fryer, and my mom tried, and she's a great cook, but he was like, nope. So when we get a roast or a steak or whatever, he still goes and picks them up at McDonald's, and my mom will cook the roast on the side. That's the truth. McDonald's fries are pure crack. It's the most amazing thing.
You didn't know they're actually made, they're fried in cocaine.
You know what? I would believe it.
I would believe
and
it.
And then the little powdery mixture is not salt. It's salt, MSG, and Coke in a perfect mixture, and they toss them on the fries, and it's
that's why your nose goes numb after eating them for a while, your nose and throat just eventually,
and your gums, they're just like
that's why the Belgians McDonald's fries right now. I'll be back.
Right, that's why the Belgians dip in mayo. You can't see all the cocaine on it. It's already white.
This podcast brought to you by McDonald's. Get
please,
their fries.
Please pay me. You have endless pockets.
Speaking of cocaine, his technically second wish is to be rich and powerful and
to be
married
to
Allison, and he ends up being a Colombian cocaine dealer.
His accent was so great during that scene.
It was amazing.
His Spanish was fine and his accent was amazing.
Raul. I loved that. I just loved how much he pronounced
But like
it.
So he wakes up, and Allison dyes her hair for every scene. Who has more changes, Allison or Hurley? Hurley. Because cut to cut, almost, she changes her outfit, her hair color, everything. It's amazing.
It's exactly why I would want to be the devil. Mm. All those transformations. It was great.
Well, you got to update your CV first.
Okay. Yeah.
You can't have a resume for being the DeVille.
Do you have business cards? Because apparently, according to this movie, that's a requirement. You have to have business cards.
Centered in Times New Roman. Like, it's just...
The devil.
Actually, all it made me think of was that scene in American Psycho where he's like, oh, yes. Christ, oh it's off. It's bone. This is the most perfect fucking business card ever.
Considering this is the devil, I'm surprised she didn't use Comic Sans because that truly would be a sin.
Don't say that font around me.
Virus.
No!
On the back, her phone number would be in Wingdings.
Mm, that would do it.
I'm about to transform into the devil right now.
Girl. So we have the first wish, which is apparently a Big Mac. The second one is to be a Coke dealer. The third one is...
It's the sensitive man on the beach.
Oh, God, that guy. So and he turns into a ginger, which was weird.
I liked his song about dolphins that included actual dolphin squeaking.
I have to stop. Good. I mean, oh.
And he cries whenever he looks at the sunset.
I just want a guy that's going to pretend to listen to me and it really just wants to get in my pants. I'm that guy. Great. Let's go.
I have to ask the women on panel, have you ever been on a date like that where it's like, great. Oh, no. I mean, I'm so sad you stopped.
I pretended like the Smiths once on a date.
Oh, yes. God, there was this one guy I met that... We'd be hanging out, and all he wanted to do was keep playing me his songs off his phone. He was like, I'm trying to go to sleep, and this guy's pulling up his SoundCloud account, like trying to show me his like friggin' like mixtape, and he's like, okay, one more song. Just what do you think about this? Like, where did you, how did you feel about it? And I was like, I feel like I want you to get the hell out of my apartment. That's what I want.
To be fair, my wife married me even though she knew I wanted to podcast, so that's weird enough. But at least I don't feel like. Girl, did you listen to this week's podcast? Because, dude,
damn.
Right? Exactly. And she's like, I don't listen to you when you talk. No, it's not in an insulting way, but she doesn't listen to the podcast. Frankly, most of the people on panel don't, but that's because they're here.
I do, because I get bored at work.
Please pay me.
I don't like listening to me.
Personally, I like me for me.
Just because...
You're the best person here because you left.
I loved that.
Hey, I try to go along with the song. She likes me for me. Not because.
Isn't that song called Hey Leonardo? Our childhood was corrupt of names for songs. Yeah. Except for Panic at the Disco, which was like an entire sonnet for every title.
Oh,
I loved
that. Yeah,
we're seeing them this summer. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah,
we are.
They're opening for Weezer, who's still a band that exists.
Matt declined that invitation.
Everyone except. Okay, I'm gonna have to bring.
So wait, so Jeremy's coming, but Matt's not coming.
No, he's not coming.
Jeremy, you're a better man than Matt.
I'm gonna end up bringing a camel back filled with white wine, and we're gonna have like a major.
Yes.
Can we? Yes. Can we also bring a cheese platter?
What's wrong with Weezer?
Girl, no, I love me some Weezer, but Panic at the Disco.
Oh, Panic at the Disco.
I got that first album because it was like NPR,
the
like
best
first
ever.
Thing. Yeah, and it was that was a hell of a thing. And then I was like, and then I was done. I was like, the first album was great.
Their new one's really good. We digress, but it is. Their new one is really good.
But, you say that. That means they're only going to play stuff from the new album. It's like when you show up at a Creedence show, and they're like, we're going to play the classics you like, but first.
Here's all the shit you don't want to hear, but you have to because you paid for it.
Speaking of Brendan Fraser.
So after the sensitive man was the intelligent man?
No, it was the basketball player.
With
my favorite.
Dennis Rodman.
You got to give 110%.
That was my favorite, too. I loved him as like the
Ugh! They did 555-777. He's like, ugh! And then he flips the thing around. And his locker's line was sticky notes that say 666.
That's what I mentioned to Abby. I was like... His teammates probably think he's some terrible Satan.
There's just some wonderful thing about a scene in which a man opens his towel and shouts down in his dick, what the hell?
What the...
Damn the devil to hell!
Well, speaking of, and I'm bringing this up only because it's now, literally this week when we're recording, so I guess I have to release this soon, but John Boehner called Ted Cruz Lucifer, and the Church of in the flesh, and then the Church of Satan
was
said
like, absolutely
no.
Absolutely not. We don't claim him.
No. Because I imagine they all also picture the Satan as Elizabeth Hurley. Because why not?
Why that would be the preferable.
Which
Satan.
I guess to Madison, that reminds me of that episode of Metalocalypse where they try to join the Church of Satan and just as a regular church, as boring. They're reading the announcements. Yeah. No.
So then, in a reaction to the dumbest basketball player to ever live, he wishes to be an intelligent man, and then ends up
giant wang.
Yeah, and then he didn't want it to be too big. He just wanted it to be like
where he adjusts himself when he first walks in the room, and that is a massive piece you got working.
Oh no, I mean,
was it a prosthetic?
It was definitely
no,
the third leg.
It was not a prosthetic. It was a balloon animal that someone has stuffed down their pants.
Aww. What was the book he was writing, being the intelligent man? It was something about the Industrial Revolution's effect on Germany, and
it was. And I know the guy point, who actually wrote that book.
I'm sure you do.
The point he wanted to make in the book was that, you know, existential crises happen, but they don't have to be so bleak.
Yeah, yeah, that was it.
Oh my God.
And apparently it's die, and if I may quote, apparently it's already won the Pulitzer Prize, but it hasn't even been published yet.
You know, you can get a Pulitzer Prize and $3.50
a cappuccino.
That's pretty strange.
We finish each other's
cakes.
Do you remember what his actual wish was?
He wanted to be articulate? Yeah, articulate. And then
yeah, he wanted to be really, he said he wanted to be really, really, really intelligent, articulate, and have a not small, but you know, like a good sized winky.
So if it was Joe Biden making the wish, he'd been a black president? Please? Oh, come on. Fuck all of you. That was good. However, the thing that frustrated me about this scene was the vision of gay people in the
apparently you're gay if you know the what was it, the cast of the Pajama Gang?
Yeah.
The Pajama Game.
Game.
Well, right. Was it the original musical. Was it the original cast or was it the reproduction? You have to be sure.
So but first of all, his gay partner was the gayest gay that ever gayed in the... Again, that's why you could have told me this was a 1980s movie.
It felt like the Birdcage. It was like it was like Nathan...
But the
Nathan
Birdcage is funny.
No, not Nathan,
Nathan
Fillion.
Lane.
Yeah, I almost said Nathan Fillion as well.
The guy who was Timon in The Lion King.
Yes!
If I may, the remake would have been Nathan Fillion because he looks like Brendan Fraser and it's the same kind of actor.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I would watch that so many times.
I'd watch that so hard.
But the problem
who'd
is Elizabeth Hurley would have fallen in love with him.
Who would be the devil?
MPH.
Neil Fraction.
Done!
Oh, we have a remake!
Better movie. And this was perfect.
Can it be called Vajazzled instead of Bedazzled?
No, that would be a cutaway joke because he would say, this is bedazzling me. And then Kim Kardashian is in the window. It's like, this is a...
The term that you coined that caught on with people is called Vajazzling.
Yes.
And I'm just curious what that is. I have no idea.
It is bedazzling, but for your
private
hoo-ha.
Right. Your private. If yes. you're the lady areas, yes.
Yeah, that gay guy was, not only was it rough, but.
Why was he wearing lip gloss in bed?
And then second, I don't know. I haven't made out with a lot of gay guys, or I guess in my case, gay women. But can you kiss a guy and know that he's gay?
No, he kissed
the
girl.
That's
what
I'm asking you as a woman.
I think he realized it was what the joke
But she goes, yeah, you kind of are.
I don't think so. I think the bigger red flag was the man in his pajamas in his bed saying, don't play games with me, Mr. Richards. I'm in no mood.
Shut up, bitch.
Batch.
And apparently he ran around in a Speedo on Fire Island.
When he was drunk on Alexander's, which is why I had one before we recorded. girl.
Sorry, I'm still thinking about your question about if you kiss somebody, you can tell they're gay. I'm just wrapping my mind around that.
Well, because
I can
that's
tell
what he
whether
goes,
or not
goes,
I want to kiss them again.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like, he goes in to kiss what's her name
and
Allison, and then he's like, if I were gay, would I do this? Mm-hmm. And then they first base it for a bit, and he goes, yeah, I'm gay. And she goes, yeah, you are.
Wouldn't the hostess who invited him to the party know he was gay?
Maybe he's not out.
I mean, shout, let it all out. Girl, no. I mean, my jokes can land flat. I've done that before, and then I edit them. This one I won't, though, because that would require me listening to myself make jokes, and my producer doesn't do that anymore. However, after this, he wishes to be someone strong and powerful, and then it gets really odd, because a British woman salutes a man who wants to be the president. And rather than being the president, quote-unquote, modern president, they turn into Abe Lincoln.
On the night of his assassination.
Which, to be fair, still a good president.
Still a good way to get a soul.
Well, if you get rid of the whole suspend habeas corpus thing.
Well, and to Abby's point, it's a weird because theoretically the whole game is supposed to be that Elizabeth Hurley, the DeVille, is supposed to get his soul. So at this point, she is it's really the first time where she tries to speed up the game by having him killed so that she can get his soul.
I don't know, with the cocaine one, he was getting murdered.
Yeah, but that's actually very complicated because, like, the cocaine scene is a 10-minute scene, a 15-minute scene. Him as Lincoln is 45 seconds long. Like, really, it's in and out. He recognizes it. It's the night of the shooting. Also, I don't know who he thinks he's going to see the play with, but Lincoln actually does sit with his wife, so maybe... Yeah.
And what was his name? Rathbone?
Major Rathbone. And his wife.
Whom he eventually, Rathbone that is, killed with an axe.
Yes, he did.
Went crazy.
He did.
And this is the point at which he gives up.
Yes.
He stops making wishes and selflessly does something selfless. And then gets a soul back.
Selflessly does something selfless.
His benevolent wish was that he just wanted Allison to be happy.
But he didn't know that it would break the contract. No,
because he never read that
contract.
Who reads the contract? Well,
I'm sorry, I just keep thinking about the human centipede episode of South Park where no one reads the terms and agreements.
Well, but
terms and conditions.
Well, this actually came out before it and is, of course, remake of a classic movie. But it's the same thing that they end up doing in Bruce Almighty, mm-hmm. right? It's the end. It's the end wish, which is, I mean, and of course, Bruce Almighty is the exact proxy to this because he's dealing with God with all the power that God has as opposed to devil who gives him everything he wants, right?
Well, allegedly.
Allegedly. But I mean, the thing is, and I've read a little bit about, of course, Dudley Moore because you can't avoid Dudley Moore, but no. Peter Cook, this is... Not heavy for this podcast, but close. This is what the devil's supposed to be, right? Satan is Hasatan in Greek, which is just the adversary. And mm-hmm. so you're supposed to realize yourself by being challenged by them, which is what this movie is,
yeah,
right?
That's why I think it works so well, because it's a very nice character arc for Elliot. He starts off as that just insufferable... geek at the
he's beginning. A dweeb. He's like a 1980s. If this was a different world, he'd have flip up sunglasses attached to his glasses.
I am surprised Orlando Jones did not give him a wedgie.
But I mean, like that's what he is. Then he's just the well, I guess she is. She's the adversary to his mundanity.
Mm-hmm. And then he becomes Brendan Fraser from The Mummy again, and that's nice.
Well, I mean, it is the only thing that I don't like about it is.
Him, like, growling at his coworkers?
No, it's... How do you show that someone's not nerdy and a dweeb anymore? Well, you take off their glasses. Because mm-hmm. he never needs his glasses again.
It's the good old-fashioned Sandra Bullock method.
Yeah. Mm. Tosses their hair.
He does have beautiful hair.
I'm sorry. I have a big beef with the final scene because I don't care how good-looking you are. If I just rolled up and you're like, hey, I'm your neighbor. Will you help me move my stuff? F off. No. Congratulations. Welcome to the neighborhood. You should have hired movers. Bye.
She did hire movers. Yeah, there were movers in the background.
I
don't know.
How am I going to help you?
Maybe it was the worst pickup line ever.
Hey, girl. Because he wants to get in her pants. That's why.
I don't know.
Hey, boy, Ryan, you want to help me move my delicates?
I'm going to be honest. Mm. Ryan Reynolds could have divorced Blake Lively and moved next door to me and been like, hey, Madison, I'd really, really appreciate it if you would help me move my things and we could take a shower together. I'd be like, you know what, Ryan Reynolds? F you.
Stronger woman than I.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I mean, I'd help Ryan Reynolds move.
Sorry,
I'd help Blake Lively move. Is she going to need to be moved and need help with that?
Well, then you'll have to be moved away because of the restraining order. But, you know, that's...
I collect them like baseball cards.
But, I mean, like, the thing is, when you have that, like... I'll let that one land. That one was good.
Yeah. I like that.
I like that you have a picture, too. So there's, like, a binder filled with women.
Oh!
Binders of women!
For 4 years ago.
We still make relevant topical jokes.
Oh, man. It's not we hate movies. We're not that good yet. So, Daniel, what are the missing wishes here?
Like, in terms of the original?
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing with the original was that the devil was a much bigger character, and the reason he was... And the reason that the devil was even handing out wishes in exchange for someone's soul was because he had a bet with God about who could get to 100 billion souls faster. Mm. And this was apparently one way to do it. And then afterwards, supposedly, Satan would be welcomed back into heaven. It'd be this big thing.
Yeah.
But the wishes in the original are, well, they have the same twist, which is that one of the mundane things for, like, a piece of food counted as a wish. So in the original, it's a raspberry-flavored popsicle, or as they call it, an ice lolly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Ew.
Then the first wish is essentially the articulate man, and he goes on a date with the woman of his affection who's named Margaret in the original. And when he tries to actually, you know, get intimate with her, she just starts actually calling out, "Rape!" So that ends. Oh, and also,
we've all been on a rape date.
Also in the original, instead of having a pager, because it was 1967, in order to cancel wish, he'd blow a raspberry. Oh, even better. The magic words Satan would use to start a wish were Julie Andrews.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, overall, which is the better one? And that will get us into final judgments,
which
I guess.
Which is the better one? That's interesting. Well, a lot of them are fairly similar. I mean, there's the millionaire wish in the original. There's the secluded in the countryside wish. Well, that was one of them, but it went wrong because Satan set up so that the object of his desires was married to her. Then there was like, Satan was married to her, but then they were supposedly having an affair behind Satan's back, which was hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny.
Then there was this Hard Day's Night tribute wish where the guy wanted to be a pop star, and so he did, but then Satan became a rival pop star and replaced him on the charts.
That's actually funny, a Beatles versus Stone joke.
Yeah, essentially.
Like.
Well, Satan was sort of like a David Bowie thing. Like, the guy's song was about how he wanted everyone to love him, but Satan's song was like, "I don't care,
but I mean,
I'm just here."
So this is much more of a classic 1950s, like, dark versus light.
Yeah,
like, again, like, I kind of like how this one is more of the, I guess, Greek version of what Satan is, which is the adversary. It's challenging him to be a better person.
Except that doesn't really happen in the original, which was kind of weird because Satan was just as much of a character. And
right.
It was more about Satan's redemption because it ends, well, there's that random wish where he wishes to be a fly on the wall in Margaret's daily activities,
sure.
Which is kind of what happens in the remake during that scene where Satan reads from her diary.
What's that terrible John Donne poem? Paradise Lost. So it's more of that kind of a devil
something
character.
Like that. Yeah. It ends with him wishing for to be secluded from all of society, essentially, with him and his beloved Margaret, and they don't have to worry about anything in modern life, so Satan makes them both nuns.
That's funny.
But that's all seven wishes. So the only reason he gets his soul back is because Satan takes pity on him. He's like, "Yeah, if I do this selfless good deed and give Dudley Moore his soul back, then God will love me again." So he does, and then he goes up to heaven, but God's like, "No, get out of here. You did it for the wrong reasons." He doesn't get welcomed back into heaven, and Dudley Moore refuses to get more wishes.
The main difference between the original and this one, I think, is that the original is about 30 minutes too long and very dreary. Like, they actually show his apartment where he's sad and alone.
Oh, yeah, he meets Satan when he tries to kill himself.
Yeah, it's really dark. This one's like, yay, good afternoon movie. Everybody's having fun. Brendan Fraser's making wishes.
It's a Capra movie is what it is, yeah. Okay.
And then he busts the water pipe that he was trying to hang himself on, and the original scene is him trying to, like, stop the water from coming out the pipe.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's good humor. It's just not something I'd watch
to
cheer myself up.
No, it's bleak. It is. Yeah.
There's also a lot more theological discussion, I think, in the original, because, like, at one point, Dudley Moore just says, "I hate God. What has he done for me?" He's a I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, that's much more classic Faust. Yeah. That's the Faustian bargain. But I mean, like, it's just interesting because you compare it to something, even like a Dogma, where God just shows up in white. And that's kind of what this God is, right? Mm-hmm. He's just in the prison cell as the compassionate one.
Was that supposed to be God or
yes.
just a
real? Yes, okay. Because at the end, he's chess with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth Hurley's cheating, and he's like, really?
See, watching it as a kid, I always just thought that was a random angel. I didn't think it was God because he refers to God in the third person.
Well, I mean, it could be. I mean, it could be an angel because, again, since Lucifer's supposed to be an angel who's mm-hmm. just God's adversary, it makes sense. And again, in a much more it's Aristotelian. It's classic. Yeah. But
I liked the ending in the remake a lot more with it being more about Brendan Fraser's character than Satan trying to do something.
Well, and I like the end just as them kind of walking off as the world is moving around them.
It's still a goofy ending. Oh, yeah, the Konyas Katsi tribute during the beginning and end credits.
Well, and that just feels much more like how at first the world is passing him by because he's forgettable. And in fact, it even gives him the tag as he's a doormat. And mm-hmm. at the end, it's passing him by because he's in love and he's ignoring the rest of the world as the world falls around
him. And he drinks out of a milk carton.
And she hogs the covers because he meets a woman that looks exactly like Allison but as dorky as him.
She looks exactly like him, too, because they're also brunettes and they're very tall. And it's weird because
she's wearing those baggy overalls.
I mean, it makes sense because since she's met me, my wife has also become more and more of a brunette. And it's because only brunettes can truly fall in love if they're brunettes, and blondes fall in love when they're both blondes. And
aw, that's sad.
And there's Matt and I, and I don't know what happened there.
Imagine your hair will become darker over time like Candace's did. Hers was as blonde as you when we first met.
We're not talking about this. I'm not getting old.
Candace and I met 30 years ago.
Well, now I know why I'm still single, because I like dark-haired men.
Girl.
Hey, girl, hey.
We'll just let that one hang in the air for a while.
I'm going to go cry myself to sleep now. Where's Satan to give me my wishes?
This is like the original.
Who would your Satan be? The Rock?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say it's either him or Vin Diesel.
I could picture The Rock.
Or Nicolas Cage.
Oh, man, can you imagine that? So what is it? Well, for you, what they would do is you'd be like going like home from a bar or something, and the Uber car driver would be driving a muscle car or a tricked out Nissan Z-Series, and it would be Vin Diesel being like, where do you want to go? And you're just like,
wherever you want.
And he's like sliding around corners, and you're like, man, I wish this was my car. Well, I can make any wish your desire. And that would be it. That would be your end.
As opposed to that dumb joke in the remake where the devil drives a Lamborghini Diablo.
And even the sergeant at arms like kind of like, really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Well, he
plays for the Diablos.
He does.
That was actually kind of work,
and
though.
He had a sticker.
He had a sticker in his
at his
cube.
Desk for the Diablos.
Yeah, that was cute.
That was like, huh, that's actually cute.
They tied it together.
It's a good movie. See, they're tying everything together.
Speaking of cuteness and tying it together, we should tie this off. We're going to start with Daniel, then Madison, and then go to Abby for your final judgments. Daniel.
Well, I don't know why I watched both in retrospect. I guess because I'm just that much of a workaholic.
He's committed to the podcast.
You know, they're actually about equal, which is hard for a remake to do because usually the remake is a lot crappier than the original. And the original's fine. You know, the original's got its fun moments. But this, I think it still works. I mean, it's a simple premise, but the wishes are a lot more engaging, and the length is better. I mean, they don't waste time like the original one does. Like Abby was saying, she was absolutely right. It is about a half hour too long. So, plus, I also like Elizabeth Hurley as the devil. That's one part of my adolescence I absolutely will defend, especially that schoolgirl outfit. And the panty shots when they're signing the contract. That was nicely done. Overall, I think... Overall, I think this held up pretty well. I mean, it's not groundbreaking, but it was never going to be. And overall, it was pretty fun.
Good. Madison, what do you think?
So I really liked it when I was a kid. I thought it was really funny and cheeky. I did not realize how many sexual overtones there were within this movie until we rewatched it this afternoon. I was like, oh, why did my parents let me watch this? I have to say, though... if I were in this situation, first off, it would be either The Rock or Vin Diesel in a muscle car, and we'd be driving around and doing all kinds of shenanigans. But I think that my number one wish, if I had this scenario, was that I could have the fastest car in the whole world, and I'd somehow end up dying in it, I'm sure. But that would be my wish.
Aww.
That's basically how I want to go out.
Oh.
Smiling.
You know, Harold Ramis, the guy that directed this movie, is also gone.
Wait, this is a Harold Ramis?
Yeah. It is.
Wow. Hey, Ghostbusters is coming out this summer, too.
So anyway, overall, I thought it was good. It's very thought-provoking. I like the idea that I think we just take things for granted. And I think a lot of people in our society really do just want like a magic wand to wave and make all these things happen for them, as opposed to earning them or working for them or learning from your experiences. And that's really what I take away from this is that, yeah, there are plenty of things I wish I had, but it's not going to matter to me unless I actually earn it myself.
Fair. Very good.
So, good movie.
Yeah, thank you. And Abby, your final thoughts?
Like many of my childhood movies, I also don't know why my parents let me watch this. It was definitely a lot of sex jokes. But it's fun. It's cheeky. I enjoy it. I still reference it to this day. The scene where he figures out that he can
speak Spanish.
We were both laughing.
He's just doing like, I would like to go to the library.
No, Abby called Matt out to make sure that we watched that scene in particular. And he was like, I don't speak Spanish. Oh my God, I'm speaking Spanish.
My Spanish teacher wouldn't believe this. How do you get to the biblioteca? I am allergic to shellfish. But I think what I like most about this movie is while it's fun and it's cheeky, the moral of the story is it's not how far you get in life, it's how you get there, and that's relevant to this day. I was like, yeah, Brendan Fraser, you tell me that moral. I like that. So I still like this movie. I feel like the green screen could have held up a little bit better, but it was little enough that you could get over it.
You know, I mean, thank you first. And I was going to say, as my final thoughts, we had so many things we wanted to talk about in this, and I think we did a good job overall. It's a fun movie. It's an enjoyable movie. Watch it if you can. It's lighthearted in a way, like you said. I think it feels 20 years older than it is, which isn't the movie's fault. It's some of the directing choices. He's so nerdy. He's so awful at the top, which is weird. Mm-hmm. Overall, though, you know, it's weird. It has a very interesting take on morality, which reminds me of, you know, little bits of Dogma, little bits of these other things where it's kind of like, you know, what you should do is be a better person, which is much
try
more
not
relatable.
Doing that.
Yeah.
Try not doing exactly. You know, it's not like it reminds me of people who are afraid of Harry Potter. Like, Harry Potter is a very moral movie. Why? Like, the witchcraft is not the important thing. It's the moral thing, right?
Right.
Then, you know, it's as opposed to, like, Game of Thrones morality, where it's just like, hey, boobs and evil.
That's the perfect description of Elizabeth Hurley right there.
Boobs and evil. Boobs and evil. Watch out for boobs and evil.
It's a good combination.
The devil here is the adversary. Be a better person because this is the opposite. Mm-hmm. I like how God is incorporated as kind, or the angel, whoever it is, the spokesman for God is the kind of optimistic. You can't make a deal with the devil because your soul already owns. It's a nice message. Overall, the movie is fun. It's enjoyable. It's lighthearted, and frankly, it's much more heavy with message than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not sure how good that, like, how well thought out the message is, but at least they were trying. It's not like
they thought of it more than you think it did.
It's not some Bergmergian idea about the quest for God, but at
because
least
there's
they were
optimism.
Trying. Yes, that, because there's optimism.
I mean, like, you know, it reminds me of the things people said about Dogma. And I watched Dogma in a Catholic school with priests, and they would do the debate thing, and they said the thing is, you can hide good messages underneath dark morality, and you can make dumb jokes. The thing is, the message has to be worth talking about. I think the message is interesting here.
The message here was obviously, you give 110%.
Mm-hmm. And of course,
there's no I in team.
And wearing glasses makes you a loser.
Oh.
I wore my contacts today, guys. That's the only reason why I said that joke. Because
I'm wearing mine.
You're not. You're on their head.
You're on their head. Oh, God.
Girl.
Got weird real quick.
So,
how are we out of time before
it is?
We're not going to talk about Madison's glasses or my glasses, or we're the only two who wear glasses here, right?
I wear glasses, technically.
I do not.
I just never actually wear them.
Matt wears glasses.
Matt's not here. He wouldn't watch the movie, which is sad because it's so semantical.
Semanticals.
It's got all those semanticals.
My dog doesn't have his semanticals.
Oh. Where are my semanticals?
Yeah.
We're out of time. Guess what? Hey. So, leaving on Madison and Abby talking about my dog's semanticals, I'm Nick Hoffman, and I hope you tune in next week and every week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced and mixed by Ann Burns, and edited by Nick Hoffman. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by The Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on dudeletter.com. Questions or comments? Please visit myopiapodcast.com or contact us through myopiapodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at Myopia Podcast and at Dude Letter, and find us on our Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes pages. And while you're on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast. It helps us out a lot. Want to give us money? Go to myopiapodcast.com/Amazon and purchase stuff like normal. Myopia gets a piece of the action. We are also sponsored this week by Lamborghini Diablo. Get it? Diablo. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Join us next week and every future week when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.